everybody. Another edition of Fantasy Baseball Elite. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, listening, subscribing to FantasyGuru.com, whatever it may be. My name is Jeff Manns. You can find me at FantasyGuru.com, EliteFantasy.com, GuruElite.com, a lot of domain names, at Jeff_Manns, M-A-N-S, on Twitter, the Jeff Manns, and other social media outlets. And the star of the show, everybody, you know him. You love him. He's Ray Flowers, at Baseball Guys on Twitter. How are you, Ray?
I'm good, Jeff. Thank you for the kind words. I don't hear you being magnanimous like that too frequently.
Wow, I didn't try. I was not trying to be nice.
Whew. Wow.
Yeah. Now I'm really upset. Was I nice?
You want to start it over?
Yeah. Let's start the podcast.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's do it. Indeed, welcome, everybody. We are getting close to the start of the baseball. In fact, by the time you're listening to this, baseball season will have started probably, at least for the most part, with the A's and Mariners doing battle in Japan. Ray, quick take. Do you like the opening day in Japan idea?
Hate it. I think it's terrible. I don't like the idea that they – it's just like NFL. I don't like it when you put teams at a disadvantage. And to me, putting a team at a disadvantage – by making them fly halfway around the world, by, you know, cutting down their practice time, all that. I don't like it. It's great for Ichiro. It's great for Japan. It's great for outreach. But in terms of the product on the field, I do not like it.
Doesn't make any sense to me. It's starting a week ahead of time, really. Like, I don't know, man. I get people get to go to the games, and you're trying to make it a worldly game. But, you know, we all have HDTV, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Am I just wrong?
No, you're right.
It is. I mean, why do you need to go to a game? It's not that big a deal. Why does the game need to count? Play some exhibition games. Play spring training. Play your whole damn exhibition or spring training over there. I don't care. But the start of the season, like you said, needs to be at a competitive advantage and even playing. I don't like it either. We will have full daily fantasy write-ups over at elitefantasy.com if you guys are part of our daily fantasy baseball package. By the way, a lot of ways to get Elite Mafia gear, right? You get Elite Mafia shirts, Elite Fantasy shirts. Couple of ways. Number one, sign up for any of our daily fantasy baseball packages. Boom. You get an automatic T-shirt. Tell me, at Jeff_Manns, how you would spend $1 million because we have that $1 million bracket challenge game going on over at Elite Fantasy as well, where you guys literally could win $1 million. Not easy. Definitely not easy. But you can win, and it doesn't cost you anything to enter. Why not get in? What would you do? You got $1 million free and clear, Ray Flowers. What would you do with the money?
I would. What is it you say? I would lather my nether regions. Is that the
region? Yeah, butter my nether regions.
Butter my nether regions.
Spread it all around.
You know what I would do? I don't know. I'd take a vacation. I'd probably do that. And
where would you go? Japan?
No. I'd probably go somewhere in the Mediterranean.
Oh. Wow.
Or maybe hit multiple spots, go hit Spain up, Greece, something like that. Okay. I'd probably do that. And, you know, things wouldn't change too much on a day-to-day basis for me. What about you?
I would go nowhere.
Oh, nice.
I don't know about myself, but I have zero desire to travel ever again. I think I've found sort of the place I was meant to live and be. And I don't have any kind of interest to go places. And you know this just being a friend. I get like anxiety having to travel these days. Like, I just don't want to go. It's nothing against people or places and seeing new things. I'm just not interested, you know, and planes and everything. Ugh.
Just people.
Thing I don't mind.
Yeah, I went through this with Kyle Elfrink on Sirius XM, and I said, look, traveling and doing these things is fine. I said, but babies and old people are the worst because I'm sick. And the reason I'm sick is because of crapping, barfing, puking, sneezing, babies and old people. It's like, cover your freaking mouth.
Babies, you know, can't cover their mouth right.
Well, then the parents need to put a bag on their head.
No.
Something.
Bag on a baby?
Yeah,
what's
something.
Wrong with you?
Put on a little... Put on
no,
the little,
you know why you're sick is because your stupid feral cat brings in rats into your home that carry
back
disease.
It's babies and old people.
That's true. You live with a wild animal that was never supposed to be in your house.
Babies
your
and old
house
people.
House is the equivalent to a zoo. Is that because a baby sneezed on an airplane?
Babies. There's not. I don't know this for a fact because I'm not into the feline thing. Are there any germs that are actually transferable from cat to human, Jeff?
Yes.
I don't think there are.
Cat AIDS.
Feline AIDS is not transmittable to humans.
The bird flu, they have cat flu, don't they? I'm sure. Jesus.
Here we go. Okay.
Rats, I mean, rats have disease, and that does.
Oh, of course they do. Yeah, yeah. It's
disgusting.
That's different.
And good old Dexter Kitty bringing a rat and setting him at your feet, and then Ray's like, little baby cough 4.5 rows behind me, and that's why I'm sick. Get out of here with your nonsense.
They're the worst.
You are the worst human being. Stomp those rats. Leave a bloody smear on the ground. I don't care. We have a lot to talk about, a lot of news going on. Speaking of, so that's what we'd do with $1 million. What would you do with $430 million, Ray Flowers?
I'm gone. I'm telling you.
Gone from where?
I'm gone.
What would you do?
I'm gone from life. I'd retire from everything. I would buy a house on the beach somewhere. I'd probably get a job tending bar at a beach bar.
Why?
I'd work like 6 hours a day. Wait,
you would work? Why would you work?
Yeah, just to get out of the house to do something.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
Your dream is to retire so you could work. You know what bartending is, right? Like, you have to clean dishes and plates.
I said for like 6 hours a day. I'm not working till 2 at night. I'm not working the shift with people.
Why are you working a part-time bartender shift?
Yeah.
Just get out of the house. Why don't you sit at the bar and be the customer? You have $400 million.
I'd write a book. Maybe two. I'd probably do that. No one would read them, but I'd still do it. I might continue doing radio and podcasts and stuff. I enjoy that. The talking thing, a little easier than the writing thing. I'd probably do something in the world of sports at some point, Jeff.
Wow. So I just love it. $400 million. Yeah, I'd like to bartend. Like, what?
Not now, but then when I have the money, Jeff.
What is going on with you? It doesn't make any kind of sense there. But what would I do for? Yeah, I would do the same. I would just withdraw. Like, I would never be anywhere again. I like doing radio. Like, radio and these podcasts and things I would do. I would never do another live stream. Just nobody would see my face.
Let's make a pact.
I would get even fatter and grosser and eat.
If either one of us gets $430 million, let's make a pact that we'll continue to do podcasts or something together.
Yeah, the I Don't Give an F podcast. Yeah,
I can do that. Okay.
Yeah, we would do that, and I'm all about it. So we Don't Give an F podcast. Well, that's what Mike Trout got, and that we'll start there today, Ray Flowers, with Mike Trout getting an extension from the L.A. Angels. That means no Harper Trout in Philly. That's not going to happen. Mike Trout will be in Southern California for likely the duration of his entire career, at least until they trade him at the ripe old age of 34, but he got a huge extension. It ends up being really $360 million extension on top of the $60 million he was already owed, about $426 million roughly, all things being told. And the more curious thing, like you and I talked about the Harper contract, there are no outs in this contract. Yeah. He is a lifelong Angel, at least until they trade him. And to do so, they will need his permission because he gets full no-trade clause as well. So your reaction to the Mike Trout extension news? Well,
It's amazing to me how the world works, because Harper's contract is for a longer period of time and he's making 75% as much money. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, so I don't know. Scott Boras for once flunked because he got destroyed here by Mike Trout's representation. If a deal is going to work, this is obviously the guy you sign it with in Mike Trout. He's 27 years old. He's been spectacular to this point of his career. There can be a strong argument made that, you know, through his age 26-7 season, that he's been as good, if not better, than anyone has ever played. Okay, so if you're going to do it, you do it. I don't think motivation will be an issue for him, of course. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that stuff really matters at all. He'll be overpaid at the end, and who cares? I think the bigger issue here for the Angels is what do they do around him? I'm surprised that Trout signed this contract because – maybe I'm wrong, Jeff, but hasn't this organization been stuck in neutral for a couple of years?
Yes.
And, you know, paying Trout all this money, great. They're still stuck in neutral. Like, you know, it's Justin Bour and Albert Pujols. Yay. I mean, it's like you every guy in their pitching staff has been on the disabled list 14 times. Like,
Justin Bour is a talent, my friend.
Oh, I know. That's why I threw him out there. I know he's one of your favorites. Mm-hmm. But they need to bring in talent. And bringing in talent doesn't mean bringing in Matt Harvey. That's not the answer. It doesn't mean turning to Zach Cozart. It's not the answer. It doesn't mean depending on Trevor Cahill or, you know, Keeney or Skaggs, these guys that can't stay healthy. They got to bring in some talent. I hope they surround him. I don't want this to end up being a scenario where, you know, we look back and he's Ernie Banks of the modern era. You know, it's like, get some talent around this guy.
This is what Major League Baseball is in 2019. This is what happens with pretty much every ball club at some point. They get a fire lit under their behind. They decide they're going to go for it. Yeah. And when it doesn't work out, they immediately retreat and are and cry poor for the next decade. And we've seen this with Mets, Mariners. We've seen this now with Cubs. We've seen it Cardinals to an extent. But these teams will go out, they'll spend a bunch of money. And if it, you know, I can't say the Royals, actually, that's not fair. They built from within. The Angels, though, have done it too with the Pujols deal and having Mike Trout and bringing some free agents in there. And then they go away and then they can't compete forever because they say they can't. And it's driving me absolutely bananas, Ray Flowers. I'm going crazy at the way teams are, the Major League Baseball, 28 teams don't know how to run a franchise. There are two teams and two teams only that know what the hell they're doing. And that's the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. That is it. These two teams play at a different level than every other club in baseball. There is no reason, none, in 2019 that the Chicago Cubs should cry poor and not be in on free agents and not be fielding a competitive ball club. None. They're close to the luxury tax. They are charging $92 for a spring training ticket. Every ticket, and every single one are sold out. $60 for the lawn. They can afford luxury tax. They can afford bad contracts. They make billions and billions and billions. When the Red Sox and the Yankees, when they make a bad contract, you know what they do, Ray?
What?
Go and buy another great free agent. They they mask it with better players. Didn't the Red Sox have Ruzny Castillo? Didn't they sign him $70 million?
Yeah.
Did they stop once? Did it not let them go get J.D. Martinez? Did they go get Chris Sale and sign him to a big deal? Did they go get David Price? Yes. Why? Because they don't give an F. They go and they keep going. What? We got a bad contract. Let's keep going. They don't cry poor. These teams are fooling us, right? They're fooling us. The Cubs, the Angels. The Angels, they went out and got Pujols, and now they're shocked it's a bad contract. We know it's going to be a bad contract. Sign a bad contract and keep going. You can't then disguise it with, like you said, Justin Bour and Andrelton Simmons and John Lucroy. That's garbage. Keep going. You have Mike Trout in his prime. You have a moral obligation to compete. And the Cubs are doing it with Bryant and Rizzo, wasting their youth, throwing away seasons, right? Just for nothing to not feel the competitive team because they had a bad contract with Tyler Chatwood and Yu Darvish. I don't buy it. I've been playing this game, continuously see teams spend up and then immediately tear it all down and then go away for 8 years saying, oh, we won one. That's all that matters.
Yeah, and I had the back and forth. We talked about it on the you and I about the guy with the Cubs and everything. And it's like, look, I said they could have gone and signed Bryant Harper, paid the penalty tax, and lit $20 bills in the fireplace to stay warm. It doesn't matter. Like, that's the thing. The Pirates, their owner came out and had one of the most convoluted discussions with the press ever explaining why they're not spending money. And it's like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, these teams get all this money now from revenue sharing, all the TV contracts, all of the, you know, payroll and all that stuff that is sold. They all are making money. You know, these people, they buy a team for $400 million. 10 years later, it's worth $1.5 billion. They're all making crap tons of money. And if they choose not to spend it on the field, that's fine. That's their privilege. That's their right as an owner. But don't, as a fan, which I think is what you're basically saying, don't as a fan support that. Don't as a fan buy into that. Don't buy the line, oh, well, we just can't afford it. BS. BS. Of course you can afford it. And when you're selling jerseys for $150 and you're selling hats for $40 and you're selling tickets to games and spring training for $90, you are making crap tons of money. Just be honest. Say, we're trying to make money running a business here. I can respect that. Saying, well, we can't sign that guy because we can't afford to pay $6 million. BS.
The Yankees, all they do is go and get players. They doesn't matter if the Stanton deal works out for them. Nothing hinders Boston and the New York Yankees ever from competing. Literally nothing ever. These teams, the Yankees took a little step back for a couple of years while they built these, and then they pop. You're not going to see them stop for another decade. And that's the way – if you're going to compete reasonably in Major League Baseball, that's what you have to be. It's like 28 teams don't get it. And they constantly cycle players around, and teams come up and come down. The Kansas City Royals won a World Series a couple years ago. It's going to be one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball here in 2019. They can't afford to keep any of these players around. Why? How could you win a World Series and not afford to keep players? How do you justify owning – there's no other business in the world in which you can go win something and then say, oh, we got to cut every expense because now we're going to just, you know, worry about profits. No, you wouldn't be in business. Like, you can't be Oster and sell blenders and have a marvelous year, and the next year, you know, say, oh, you know what? We're going to sell cheaper blenders, these garbage blenders, after it worked. It wouldn't work. Like, the customer base would ruin you. You wouldn't sell any. Like, it doesn't work in any other model. And to your point, fans continuously get ripped off. And if you don't have $400 million to spend, you're not getting any of these top players. And unfortunately, unless you spend $400 million with the Yankees and Red Sox, if you're the Angels, even the Phillies, it's exciting to be a Phillies fan. They have a three-year window to win. As soon as Harper gets older, as soon as it's time to re-sign Rhys Hoskins and maybe Pivetta and some of these and Nola and some of these arms, guess what? They're going bye-bye. They're not going to sign all these guys. It's a three-year window. You'll get Bryce Harper and a bag of balls while you rebuild for 6 years. That's the current state of Major League Baseball. It drives me crazy, and we keep seeing it, and nobody's calling them on their bullcrap.
Well, it goes back to what you're – the last point, I think, is the main point, and I know you have talked about this a lot. I've heard you say it on air and podcasts. I've talked about it a lot. The idea that, hey, you know, we've got this team and our nucleus is a bunch of 24 to 27-year-olds and we're going to be in three World Series in the next 5 years. No, you're not. No. You're not. No, no. You can make the decision to try to sell jerseys or try to win games. I think organizations need to make this decision. Have all these guys that everyone's excited about, the flashy players, the big-name guys, or do you want to have a team that wins? I mean, let's be honest. And if you've got an opportunity to win, you need to do what you can do. And one of the prime examples we always bring up is the Nationals years ago shut down Steven Strasburg because they were trying to baby him and protect him. What happened? They didn't win. Strasburg's been hurt every year since anyway. So it's like they should have made moves to try to win. Where have the Nationals been? Nowhere. You get a chance, you got to go for it. If you're not willing to go for it when you got the chance, just say we're fine with being the Tampa Bay Rays. We're fine with being a team that, hey, we have a great year every once in a while like the Rays have done, like the Athletics have done, like the Marlins have done. They have this meteoric rise. You mentioned the Royals. They have the rise and then the catastrophic fall. I don't know. Got to make a decision as a fan if you want to support that or not, Jeff.
I would – I'm telling everybody. It's – I don't know if it's going to happen 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I don't know when. But I'm telling everybody that a generation of sports fans are coming. And they're getting older every day, older and older. And eventually they're going to be running this crap. These sports fans don't have any allegiances that you have, that I have. They don't care. My son, his favorite team is now the Oakland Raiders. Why? Antonio Brown's on the Raiders. No, there's nonsense. And it's not him. It's everybody his age. If you're 13 and younger, you don't care about your home city. Nobody cares about that. Oh, I teach my kid. Bull crap, you teach your kid. Kid doesn't care about you. Kids always want to be different than parents. What your kid wants is to win. And every single fan is eventually just going to be a Yankee or a Red Sox fan. That's going to be the decision. Or maybe the West Coasters will get the Dodgers. Maybe the Dodgers will keep going. Keep leaving them out of this. But that'll be it. Literally, it's it. Nobody will care about the rest of the team. So why function? The rest of the league shouldn't get as much money. The Yankees and Red Sox should get all the money. And guess what? Eventually, they're going to say, hey, our product is so far outweighing you in Milwaukee and Kansas City and all these other places that why are we sharing any revenues with you? We're not going to. We're not in on the collective bargaining. We're not in. We're not giving you a cut of our ratings because we have all the goods and you don't. Think it's not going to happen. And that is the travesty amongst the American sports fan right now. It's just you don't see it coming and it's about to hit you smack dab in the face. And all I can do is shake my head. I grew up the Cubs. I grew up in Chicago. Now, I was a White Sox fan on the South Side. But I watched Cub fans. I watched the North Side use the Cub fans' love against them. I saw them use the fact that they're losers against them and charge more and more and more and more and more so outrageously without ever winning a thing and actually profiting to historic levels because of losing, because you're getting nothing out of this relationship. It makes no, there's only you, we were all dumb enough to support it. If you're 40, if you're 50, 40, 35, even 30 years old, we all support it blindly. Hey, we're from the area. Yay. That ain't happening. It's just not happening in the future. And if Major League Baseball doesn't get hip to this fast, Ray, we're seeing it within our industry. Baseball down, 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 down. USA Today is cutting out fantasy baseball content, even online. In their newspapers don't exist anymore. SiriusXM doesn't want to talk baseball anymore. It's just a matter of time that you're going to get Yankee and Red Sox radio. It just drives me crazy.
I'll be hoping I get the $400 million then if that's the way it goes, Jeff. Yeah. I don't want Yankees and Red Sox baseball all the time, no.
That's all it's going to be. Speaking of that, though, and lumping that into fantasy sports here, there's haves and there have-nots. And I can proudly say, sorry, Ray Flowers, take this, the spirit it's, which it's intended. One of the first times ever, I am ecstatic from Ray Flowers' Tout Wars draft this past year. Ray Flowers has sat there and he's played this game, and I get on Ray all the time. We fight on this podcast and everywhere else. I always give you crap because you're too sensible. Like, you have, your sensibilities have worked against you in recent years in fantasy baseball leagues, in my opinion, because you're too smart, you're too passive, you're too safe in your drafts. And you went into it this year in Tout Wars that we'll talk about your team. And you went, F it. I'm just, boom. I'm just buying, 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 buying. You did it. And you have the best team in this league in a 15-teamer, mind you, in your Tout Wars Mixed League draft, Ray Flowers. Talk about what went into this and the mentality you used this year compared to years previous.
Yeah, sure, Jeff. Over at Fantasy Guru, I have a write-up about this. If you want to look at it further, look at other people's teams, really analyze it, it's a free write-up. It's the 2019 Mixed Tout Wars Auction. 15-team mixed league. And I did a podcast that's part of the draft guide, if you will, part of the paid product at Fantasy Guru. So if you have that, you know what I'm about to say. If you don't, this is why you missed it. What it basically said is, look, I'm analyzing pitching, and the more I analyze pitching in an auction format, the more it seems like the right way to go with pitching is to build around a couple of big-name guys. You can either do the two-pitcher-for-30 route, where I suggested the three-pitcher-for-$20 route. Again, it's expecting it to be a $260 cap here for the auction. And what happened is we're doing this draft, and the, you know, $35 pitchers, you know, the Chris Sale's, Max Scherzer's of the world were just too expensive. They were going for $40. And I was like, all right, I don't really want to buy two guys at 80. I would have been okay with two guys at 70, but two guys at 80 is too much. So I'm going to go in the other direction, which is the three guys at 20. And so what I ended up doing was Taillon at 23, Berríos at 22, Strasburg at 18. So almost exactly hit the dollar figure of the 60 for the three guys, got three of the top, you know, 20, 25 starting pitchers, depending upon how you rank them, and then filled in behind them with the $3 and $4 pitchers. So that part went exactly according to plan. On the offensive side, the same thing was kind of in play here. I've noticed that through the years what has happened in Tout Wars in particular, and all drafts are different, and you know, these auctions are basically the same group of guys, 90% of the same people year after year, so you learn their tendencies and everything. It's come to my attention that late, there's always bargains. And the idea that, hey, I'm going to wait and get those bargains, well, you don't really have to wait to get the bargains because the $10 guys go for $5 and the $5 guys go for $2. It's just because everyone spends their money early on the big name players. So I said, I'm going to go in early, and much like the pitching, I'm going to go in early and get some guys I like. I'm not going to spend $45 or what was it, $46 on Judge. I'm not going to spend $50 plus to get Trout and Betts. I think that's dumb, but I'm going to be aggressive. So I ended up spending $30 or more on three guys, Machado, Altuve, and Freeman. Yeah. So I had those three guys for, what is it, $101. Mm-hmm. So basically, I have six guys, three on offense, three on the pitching side to anchor my team, and then it was filling in around them, Jeff.
And the thing is, in a mixed league draft, no matter how deep it is, like you said, there are players everywhere. There's this idea, and especially in auctions, there's this idea that, oh, my God, there are not going to be any more people for you. Well, this is why, you know, pairing, having a plan coming into it, even if it's an only league setup, you have to, if you just go in blindly and just like, you don't look at any rankings or anything until you get to the draft, your mindset's going to be, oh my God, they're going to run out of players. You have to understand the player pool is never going to run out. There's an infinite number of players that will be drafted. No matter what, there's no way you can do it. If you're prepared to draft guys at the bottom at, you know, whether it's player 600 or 700 or 800, whatever it may be, 350, whatever number you're ready to play, that's as deep as it can go. So you're going to get one of those assets no matter what. So the way to do it in a mixed league, you can say, all right, I'm just going to get good buys and scoop up a bunch of great players at every, or solid players at every position. That's wonderful. You're never going to win that way, though. You're just not going to win. You can not lose. Absolutely. You will always not lose, as a matter of fact. It's the safest way to go because the values will always be there. Like I said, $15, $10, $5. You'll be fine. But you're never going to win. The only way you're going to win a league like this is set yourself apart. Have a star that goes absolutely bananas. Get the 45 home run guy. Get the 120 RBI guy. Get the 50 steal guy. Get the breakout guy. You know, what guys who go up and, you know, pay off $48.
Right.
Get them, because at the bottom end, I mean, you're looking at guys. I look at guys in the reserve rounds, and you're looking at players that are Fernando Tatis, for instance, one of the best prospects in all of baseball. And then you get other guys like Cedric Mullins, who are sitting leadoff for a team and going to play every day. I mean, these are viable guys that are taken in the reserve rounds. $1 and $2 players on Nick Markakis hitting in the middle of a very good lineup in Atlanta is $2. You know, Max Kepler hitting in the middle of the Twins line is $5. Jorge Soler, a you know, big right-handed bat for the Royals hitting in the middle of the lineup, $2. I mean, come on, man. There's plenty of opportunity there if you know what you're doing, but if you don't pay up at the top end rate in a mixing draft like this, you're simply relegating yourself to fourth to eighth place at best.
Which is basically where I've been the last 3 years in Towers.
Yeah.
It's true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that I did a good job changing my strategy and pulling this off, because after the draft, Derek Van Riper came up to me and said, good draft. And we all know that he's Mr. Stars and Scrubs, so the fact that he liked it made me feel pretty good that I did a...
He's caught on to this. Like, yeah. DVR is one of those guys who's caught on to this. He's like, listen, I could play... You can play to not lose, and you can play to be safe, but it's no sense in it. It's not worth the time and the travel and all that stuff that you guys put into this to do that. And whether or not it works or not, and he spent $40 for Scherzer, $39 for Yelich, $29 for Rendon, $36 for Trevor Story. I mean, I would never pay $36 for Trevor Story, but hell... Who cares? Play it, because what are you going to do? You have a dollar for Andrelton Simmons. Oh, boy. Franmil Reyes for a dollar. Matt Kemp, a dollar. Ryan Zimmerman, a dollar. Come on. I mean, $1. These are your bottom scrubs. These are all guys that can produce. So
and they pointed this out on the broadcast that, you know, everyone builds teams differently, and you do an auction. You have a strength here and a weakness there. I mean, that's kind of how it works, right? Because you overinvest, you underinvest, you try. And you can say that my outfield lacks power. And I think that that's a fair – and I wrote about this in the article. That's a fair critique. I can say that it lacks power. But the entire outfield I have, speaking to the money component, because I spent big on the other positions, Freeman, Altuve, Machado, my entire outfield, same price as Bryce Harper. The same price. All five of my guys. That speaks to, hey, you can still get solid players. Jorge Soler for $2. David Peralta, who was pretty good last year, for $8. Michael Brantley, who was pretty good last year, for $11. Byron Buxton, who I love and we'll see, $7. And Jesse Winker in an on-base percentage. Like, this guy's got a career 400 on-base percentage. Or it's 395 or whatever the hell it is. So, again, my entire outfield was the same price, which allowed me to invest at first base, second base, third base, those kind of things. And all those players are still good. I mean, on offense, Soler for $2, Jose Martinez for $1. I know Jose Martinez doesn't have a position, but he qualifies at multiple spots, and he's coming off a year where he – hit 300 with a 360 on base percentage and 17 home runs.
Great bat. Who can match
for a buck? So, yeah, you can find those values late if you have patience.
CJ Cron was $5. Leonis Martin was $1. He's going to lead off for the Indians. Again, Yonder Alonso hitting in the middle of White Sox line, $1. Come on. That's what I mean about these drafts. And if you're prepared, if you understand, wow, oh, I'm going to get middle of the lineup bats for a dollar. That's your dollar players. You can get six, seven, eight. You can get $9 $1 players for all I care. Why not spend up and take your shots at the top end? So I like the team you put together. I should mention Alfaro and Hedges are your catchers. $2-3 catchers there. You didn't spend much, but Freeman, Machado, Hosmer, your first, third, and corner infielder. Altuve, DeJong, who I love. $6 for Paul DeJong.
Yes, Duckman special.
Yeah, it is. And Ahmad Rosario, getting yourself some steals for $12. Jesse Winker is one of your guys. Byron Buxton, who is your love affair guy. Michael Brantley, Peralta, Soler. Soler was on your team. I didn't even realize that when I'm going through the list.
No, I appreciate
Jose Martinez, your outfielders. Tyon Berríos, Strasburg, Pivetta, Teheran. Michael Gibbons of the Orioles, Archie Bradley, Ryan Presley, and Lizardo. Those are your arms. So, and in the relief rounds, you got Greg Holland, back of the guy who could be closing.
Holland and Bradley, I teamed them together. I running back handcuffed the bullpen there, Jeff. Yeah,
you did indeed. So guy could close easily. Thames, Descafani, Sheffield,
Carlos Martinez and Yoenis Cespedes were my 28th and 29th round picks.
What?
Yeah.
Nobody bit a buck at Carlos Martinez?
No. And
stop it.
And in this league, all leagues are different. But in Tout Wars, we have unlimited DL spots. So what I do is when these guys, Martinez and Cespedes, get put on the disabled list, I put them on the disabled list and I go and replace them off the waiver wire. So Cespedes and Martinez will say, let's say I pick up two guys for $20 out of the 1,000 fab. I'll have spent 40 fab out of $1,000 for Cespedes, Martinez, and then the two guys, whoever they are, that I pick up. I heard some people say, oh, those two guys are injured. To me, if both those guys are anywhere near who they are and they only play half the season, that's a huge win. I got them for free.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Why would nobody spend a dollar on Carlos Martinez? It's just because it's a shoulder injury.
Freaked out about the role. Is he going to be closer, middle reliever? I don't know. I mean,
they already have the two guys they're debating on that as well. I mean,
yeah.
I don't care. That arm alone is worth a dollar spend. Either way, I can't believe you got him in the reserve rounds. That's embarrassing. Here's the thing about Tout Wars, right? And in labor, Tout Wars, and we're doing SiriusXM Host League Draft. Any expert league draft that you guys may be looking at or even Amy, whatever drafts you guys are all doing. There was a moment during the Tout Wars, and I listened to a lot of the broadcast. I didn't fly to New York this year. I let Ray hang out with other people because I'm always talking Ray Flowers, Tiki Bar and stuff. But I heard a moment during your draft on the broadcast where one of the guys got absolutely destroyed, and that was Scott Swain.
Yeah.
He got destroyed and said there was a bet made that he was going to finish last. I think it's Howard Bender that went after him or whatever. I'm going to bet. And by the way, I love Howard. We love Howard Bender. But the premeditation to these kind of like, I'm going to bet that you'll finish last, because they did it to me last year and it wasn't even close. It's just like, okay. It's such a shtick. I told Howard that too. Like, stop. Stop doing the shtick because it's just nonsense. But I'll tell you what. I would rather build a team the way Swayne did, and I don't like it. It wasn't the team I would build or whatever. I'm just saying, I would rather do that than do what everybody else does. The thing that drives me crazy in fantasy baseball industry and amongst experts, right, is everybody has the same opinion. Just everybody. The big difference, I have this guy eighth, I have him sixth. Blah, blah, blah. The same thing, same exact opinion. You don't ever see anybody getting the same, a different opinion. And I really believe the glutton of analytics has to do with this. Because this year, I'll tell you what I noticed, Ray Flowers, is that in 2019, everybody's looking at weighted on base average versus expected weighted base on average. And that's
Oh, Jeff, you're back? Okay, all right.
And that's what everybody likes. Yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
What I was saying is I think analytics leads to groupthink. I think everybody, we all have the exact same analytics, the exact same numbers. It's like 2 and 2 = 4. And if you're getting the same sum, and I'm getting the same sum. We're all getting the exact same numbers. We're all going to like the same people. You know what I mean? You're never going to win at the high levels. Even in your home leagues, you're never going to win if you're thinking the exact same way as everybody in your league. This idea that it's bad to take a chance and bid up or bid down or fade a star or bid out it's just wrong. And it drives me nuts within the fantasy baseball industry, right? It's why I've just gotten tired of listening to it, reading it on Twitter. Everybody has the same opinions, and it's because we're all using the same math. And what I would say is go look at Baseball Savant or somewhere else, right? And go look at expected weighted on base average versus expected weight on base. And guess what? You're going to go and you're going to find players that come up that are all the same as everybody likes. Same thing. You see why certain guys are popping and hyped and getting helium this preseason and spring training. It's all because the same damn stats, and it's all the next gen stats. And it's I just find it boring. And I think a team like Swayne put together, whatever, building it differently has a better chance to win it all than it has a chance to, it has a better chance to win it all than the team that somebody built that mathematically says, oh, that was
a yeah. Well, I'll say two things. One, I mean, you look at Scott's team since you brought it up. I don't think anyone thinks $16 for Aroldis Chapman's bad. I think people would pay that. That seems like a fair price. Bumgarner at 10 is a steal. That's half price. I didn't have the money to spend on him. I bid him up to like 8 or 9 myself, and I was like, I just can't. I think I got him up to 9, actually. I can't go another dollar here because I don't have the money. Luis Castillo at 12 is fine. Hader at 8 is below cost. I'm not a Rich Hill fan or Hyunjin Ryu fan, but those two guys are $14. Jay Happ for 7. Like that pitching staff for what he spent is pretty damn good. For being honest, it's really pretty good. And I think you're totally right about the idea that, we have a lot of groupthink, and I've always prided myself, whether it's right or wrong, for never really falling into that. We've talked about it. I don't even look at other people's rankings when I do mine. I don't care. Ray, your guys, I don't care what other people, I'm doing my thing. I have people constantly on air after joking about Byron Buxton. It's like, oh, Ray, Byron Buxton. $7, you're not going to take a chance on Byron Buxton? I mean, you can't sit there and tell me, even if he sucks offensively, that he can't steal 30 bases. Because he can. Right. He can. It's $7. Other players that went for $7. Josh Bell. Woo! Who gives a damn about Josh Bell? He didn't do anything. Luke Vogt. Woo! Who cares? Jake Lamb. Woo! Can't hit left-handed pitching. Cesar Hernandez is going to hit at the bottom of the order. Good player, but he's not. So it's not like the other players that went for $7 were so much better. No, you got to do your own thing. And having a different evaluation method or style than other people, it can still work. And I've said this story, told it many times. I think I have on a podcast. The most I ever got bashed by people was the first year I did labor.
Yeah.
I did an NL only team. Like 34 guys went off the board before I got a player. Like I had guys that I was targeting and they didn't come up. I got bashed. And you remember this. People in the message column on the article, you're an idiot. How do you have a job? You're a moron. Over and over again.
Because you left money on the table, right?
I left money on the table, too. And you know what happened? 5 days left in the regular season, I was tied for first place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this idea that and this goes back to all the sports. There's a top three that everyone loves. There's a top six that everyone loves, whether it's baseball or football, whatever it is. We're not always right. And, in fact, crowdsourcing things is usually wrong. I've given the example so many times. We have a 35 to 40% chance of being right on the top 15 picks. Do you think those odds go up the further down you get in a draft? Hell no. So this idea that you've got to do what everyone else does or you're doing it wrong, poppycock, sure nonsense.
Poppycock, good reference right there. I agree. Doesn't make any sense to me. Your goal, everybody listening, your goal should be winning your league, winning the championship. I don't know. Maybe there's a handful of you that just, maybe you're trying it the first time. Maybe you've been terrible before and you're just trying to get better. So not losing makes sense to you. I get that. I think honestly, your first year in labor kind of was right on along that. You were sort of playing, you're making sure you're not going to make a bad play, and it ended up costing the end. But again, didn't matter when all was said and done. But that's, and you get in that. I've been in that situation at some of my first auctions in years past and whatnot. But you got to play to win these just championships. And it baffles Ray Flowers and myself, we talk about it when we're behind closed doors and we're gabbing on the phone like a couple schoolgirls. We always say about the industry, like, we just can't believe how many people refuse to take a chance, refuse to be wrong. They're scared to death to be wrong and to make a mistake. If you're not willing to make a mistake and live with it, you're not ready for this job. You're not ready to win in fantasy sports, whether it be baseball, basketball, football, a NCAA bracket pool. Like, come on, take a chance, live. You have to be willing to go for it. And what we do at Fantasy Guru and Guru Elite is we try as much as possible to put you in position to get over the mountaintop, to win those championships, to collect those chips. You know what I mean? So you got to be willing to – if you're not willing to take those chances, and we're trying to make you take calculated risk, not to limit your downside while also reaching for the stars, and hopefully that's what we're able to do in this podcast and everything we do over at Fantasy Guru, Guru Elite, and ElitePhantasy.com. So that leads to another topic here, Ray Flowers, and how to build – a quality outfield. On the SiriusXM Guru Leach show that I host and you host on Thursdays with me, we've been talking about draft pockets and something we've been doing and whatnot. But a conversation has come up with outfielders because we had 2 days of draft pockets just about outfielders and all those pockets of value to build it. But the thing with outfielders, you usually have 5 outfield spots, a lot of different ways to go. You can, if you build with power in your infield, you can go speed and run scored and batting average in your outfield. If you build with speed and on base in your infield, you can have an outfield chock full of power guys. So there's a lot of different ways to go. We just talked about your Tout Wars team and the dollars spent. You didn't spend a lot of dollars on your outfield. You spent pretty mid-level and down. How do you ideally like to build your outfield? Let's give it 5 spots. What's the range? What's your ideal outfield build?
I think you need at the top a 5 category contributor if you can find one. You know, and it doesn't have to be Trout or Betts. It can be Andrew Benintendi or Starling Marte. Like, I really like that ability to get across the board production. You could go lower and you could take the Malik Smith or Lorenzo Cain's of the world because you get that speed component, but then you're missing some of the power, and that's less ideal. But at least you're getting the athleticism and the speed there to help you out, especially on the base pass. But I do like the idea of trying to get that 5 category guy earlier, trying to get across the board contributors. And it could be a Justin Upton type. You know, he's going to hit 260 with 14 steals. Not really across the board, quote unquote, but not bad across the board. You know, the idea, like, when I look at a player like Giancarlo Stanton, just as an example, it's hard for me to trust him because he's going to steal 2 bases. You know, and when I look at Joey Gallo, it's hard for me to trust him because he's going to hit 210. And when I look at Victor Robles, it's hard for me to trust him because he's going to hit 12 home runs. I just like to have across the board. A guy like Tommy Pham is a perfect example of a great target because he contributes across the board. Those kind of guys to me are the way I want at the top of my outfield so that the bottom of my outfield can be the I'm going to take a shot on Eloy Jimenez stepping up. I'm going to take a shot on Ryan Braun staying healthy. I'm going to take a shot on Kyle Schwarber playing a lot this year because there's not a lot of lefties in his division. Ooh. I like the ability to build. That was for you, Jeff. I like to build my depth in the outfield based upon how I began, and I like to begin with the athleticism if I can.
By the way, Ray just hit on something we have up on the site, or should be by the time you guys get to this. Now it'll be up later this week. The lefty-righty splits in the rotations and which hitters get a bump because they'll see more playing time. Again, almost 50% of all games played against the division. Schwarber's one, Hunter Renfroe. Tons of left-handed pitching in the NL West. Renfroe crushes lefties. Going to get a nice little bump in the middle of that Padres order that features, you know, Hosmer, Machado, and all those. So a couple guys right off the top that get bumps just by who they'll be facing as part of their platoon within the division. But I'm excited about that. I agree with you. I really want you look at other positions, Ray, and it's tough to come up with a lot of 5 category impact first baseman.
Right.
Third baseman. You know, you get like – and Nolan Arenado, you know, has a case to be a number the number 3 pick in fantasy baseball. I think you and I both said, I think that would be our choice.
Right.
But he's not going to steal. He's not going to get you any stolen bases necessarily. You know what I mean? So you're not going to get those kind of impact guys around the infield. However, the outfielder is full of them. So that's 100% what I like to – I like to target with my outfielders guys. If I'm going to take an outfielder in the first, second, third round, you're going to bet your backside that it's going to be a Charlie Blackmon, Ronald Acuna, Christian Yelich, Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, of course. Those type of players – that are going to impact all five categories or six or seven, depending on your league format. That's how I'm going to build early round outfielders. If you're going to build, you know, across the board spots at shortstop, third base, whatever, later on you can get power, speed. You can get – there's a ton of one category guys throughout the outfielder, throughout the outfield later on. But my first couple outfielders are going to be guys who impact the most categories possible.
Yeah, and I agree that's ideal. Now, it depends on where you're at and how you put it together, and I think that's the second level of the question. It's that people seem to struggle, in my experience with them, over how to construct a team. I think a lot of people, and I think, and I'm not disparaging football, but I think a lot of people come over from football and you know, try to do this baseball thing as a generalization. And, you know, it's running backs and wide receivers and you build a team and there it goes. It's not like that in baseball. It's got to be broader. There's positions, there's categories. And I think the category thing really trips people up, not just mention the pitch positions too, that people miss that. Like they say, okay, I took Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, my first two picks in the outfield. Okay, great, fantastic. You just got 80 home runs and 200 RBIs, fantastic. And then who's their next pick? Well, then they're sitting there and they're looking at the rankings like, well, I've got Tommy Pham and Joey Gallo ranked side by side. Who do I take? And they take Joey Gallo. It's like, you should have taken Juan Soto for the batting average. You should have taken Juan Soto for the on-base percentage. You shouldn't have taken, again, the same guy that you've already got. Winning home runs is winning home runs, but you don't have to win by 40. You know, you got to compete across the board. And I see this happen a lot. People say, oh, Ray, I followed your rankings. You know, I got Dee Gordon and Billy Hamilton. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, that's not – no.
Overkill.
Yeah, it's not the way to do it. You now have – you're halfway to leading the league and steals off two guys, maybe higher. Maybe you're top five off two guys, and they're going to hit nine home runs. If everything goes right, if everything goes wrong, it's three. And when the average position hits, it has to hit you like 22, three home runs in a 12-team league. How are you going to make up the 40 home runs you just lost? You're not. So all the advantage you just gained in steals, you just gave right back in the home runs. So it's a constant mismatch. Mix and match. And this goes back to the previous podcast we did where you were talking about having category targets and all that. People need to be cognizant of the type of players they're putting together and how important it is to have them fit together.
Exactly. Why we have the Road to Target column, an article up over at fantasyguru.com. Draft your team. Build your team knowing what you're acquiring, knowing what you have. Don't overdraft. You guys overdraft categories so much. And it's not just about this player versus that player. Again, I have made 2019 the year of game theory for me. You know, I look at the fantasy landscape and I constantly say we have so much analysis on players and teams. So much. But we never really talk about what it takes for me to beat you, right? Like what if I am competing against you, how am I going to gain an advantage? It's not about, well, have better players. Yes, that would be great. It doesn't work that way. How am I going to – I need to take away your supply. I need to build a strength that preys upon your strength. You know what I mean? I need to build a dominant team. But it's not just about a player A versus player B. It's just not that way. In every other – I've always been – I mean, I played – Stratomatic before I played fantasy baseball. I was a chess guy most of my life. I've played Axis and Allies, and you know, I was not Dungeons & Dragons necessarily, but I don't mind it. I've played these any kind of skill based poker. I was big in poker. I'm a huge poker guy. It's always against your opponent. It's never about the pieces on the board or the cards in your hand. Ever. It's never about it. You're playing the guy. Okay, and if you just wait for better cards in poker, you're not going to win. If you wait for Stratomatic, the dice to go your way, you don't have a chance. You got to be able to beat your opponent. And fantasy sports to me is the exact same way. It's why I've been profitable, quite honestly. And I look at it, and I wish more of you out there would take that advice and heed that advice and try to understand it and build accordingly, as opposed to worrying about player A versus player B. Because player C, D, or E might give you a better opportunity over your opponent than just going A versus B. But nevertheless, so building outfielders, we seem like that's kind of – we have similar approach there. But pitching staff, Ray, you've been getting a lot of questions on how to build a pitching staff, right?
Yeah.
What do we do? Let's say we have 9 pitchers to build around. And ideally in 2019, please, and all of you league commissioners out there, please just have 9 pitcher slots. Don't do starting pitcher, relief pitcher designation. We got to get away from that. It's too much in 2019. So please do that. If you haven't made that subtle change, do it. But Ray, what's your ideal build for a pitching staff? How do you draft? Let's talk about just the draft right now. Because obviously throughout the season, injuries, innings, innings limits, innings minimums, all of this will factor in how you eventually wind up your staff. But how do you build it on draft day?
Yeah, I know that we got a lot of information over at Fantasy Guru, so I just want to point out that back on February 21st, I recorded a podcast, Snake Draft Secrets, and I did spend time in there, so you can go listen to that podcast if you want to hear some more information about this. The idea to me is that you have to decide how you want to draft before you even decide how you want to put a staff together. Some people, and we know these people in all sports, you don't feel comfortable unless you have a quarterback. You know, you got to have that quarterback. And even though you can wait to the 10th round, you got to take him in the 5th round. Same thing is happening with pitching this year, except it's been really accelerated. It used to be I can get an ace in the 5th round. Well, now if you want that ace, you got to take him by the 3rd round. That's just the way people are drafting this year. Whether it's right or wrong, it's how they're drafting. You have to decide where you're comfortable. I have long maintained, and again, I did it in Tout Wars. We talked about at the start of the podcast. I have long maintained I don't need a top 10 pitcher to win. In fact, I think in a lot of instances, it doesn't work well when you do that because you have a tendency either to miss or pass on the offensive players that do contribute across the board, or B, you're lulled into a sense of complacency because you've already got that pitcher and you don't build enough depth. I think that happens frequently to people. So I think an ideal spot to be is I don't, again, need a top 10 guy. I want 3 of the top 30 guys, or 3 of the top 25 guys, if you want to play it that way. That, to me, is a more comforting way to be. You don't get Scherzer. You don't get DeGrom. You don't get Kluber. Who cares? Who drafted DeGrom there last year? Who drafted Nola as a top 10 guy last year? Who drafted Cole as a top 10 guy last year? Who drafted Bauer as a top 10 guy last year? Who drafted Snell as a top 10 guy last year? Nobody.
Every year.
Okay.
Every year we see it.
Yeah. So
the
getting 3
at the top end of pitching is amazing.
Every year.
And for every Scherzer and Sale that you'll say, well, Scherzer and Sale, always like that, I'll show you Clayton Kershaw. Mm-hmm. I will show you R.A. Dickey. I will show you Rick Porcello. I will show you – I mean, it's constant, and it never ends. Pitching is volatile. I agree.
Yeah.
Having strong pitching staff obviously helps you win, and it's a spot you can gain a major advantage on your opponents because so, no matter what we all do, each of our pitching staffs will break down. We're all going to suffer injuries. We're all going to have UCL tears. We're all going to have guys relegated to the bullpen. We're all going to have to deal with teams who go to the opener mentality. We're all going to have to deal with that. So the idea that you're not silly, pure silliness, right? So, and I don't care if you're Scherzer or Sale or not. Arms break down all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm on board with that. For me – here's just a brief guideline. I think it goes right in line with what you're talking about, but I have a 3 pitcher in the first 10 round premise. That's what I like.
3 or 4, because depending on their comfort level, but I agree with you, Jeff.
And ideally, mine is 2 starters, best starters I can get, and 1 elite level closer that ideally won't lose their job. You're not as into closers as I am. I'm only into the top. I need a contract, guaranteed innings. I don't want – this is one spot where I don't necessarily with my first closer, I don't want skills over anything else. This is the only spot where I need the job. I need these guys to be locked into their role in whatever, you know, in whatever way possible. They traded for him. They gave him a big contract, you know, whatever it may be. That's what I want. I don't want these guys. Oh, they had a monster 2018. I'm not interested in that. And unfortunately this year, there's only a couple of those guys, even with Jansen, Diaz, and maybe Doolittle and Trennan. I don't even know if they would qualify in this realm. So, but two starters and an elite closer is what I want to start my team off with. And then seven hitters in the first 10 rounds. You're saying you may go one extra pitcher.
I might, but it depends. I like think 3-1 if you're going to do it. So along the same lines you are, just adding another starting pitcher.
Yeah.
But it depends. Are you in a 10-team league? Are you in a 15-team league? Do you start seven pitchers or nine? Like, everyone's got all these different rules. If I could just say everything was a 12-team mixed league and you started nine pitchers and there was no SPRP, it was just nine pitchers, this is exactly how I would do it. Problem is, that's not the way most leagues are. The NFBC, which I'm going to this weekend in Vegas, it's 15-team mix. So I think three or four, depending upon your format, depending upon how your league drafts the players too, is important. If everyone goes bonkers pitching, and again, you – let me back up for a second.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
No, I'm just –
literally, you're beat the truck.
I'm going to back up years. So I'm going to go back up to years. The last time I did the NFBC, actually.
Brett Saberhagen, 1987. Oh.
Yeah, right. Not quite that long ago. I was doing a team draft with Ryan Houston, my old boss at FanBall, and – Jabba Chamberlain was ascending, and everyone thought Jabba Chamberlain was going to be the bee's knees. And I wanted to be Ray Flowers, which was, I'm going to take boring, old Javi Vasquez. No way, we can't do that. Why? We can't do that. So we took Jabba Chamberlain, and out of the 360 teams, we finished 22nd overall. Okay? Jabba Chamberlain was hideous. He was awful. He was off our team by midseason. Meanwhile, Javi Vasquez won 15 games, had 238 strikeouts and a 280 ERA. If we would have made that one different move, okay, we would have ended up in like 11th place overall, just one player. And the reason I bring that up is because what round was that potential decision mistake made? It was the ninth round. It was our first pitcher taken. We took eight straight hitters, and we took our first pitcher in the ninth round. We blew the first pitcher that we took in the ninth round of a 15-team mixed league, still finished 22nd out of 360 teams. Okay? Yep. So it's not about the aces, like you're saying. It's about managing the expectations of the players. It's about choosing the right players. It's about how you handle the waiver wire, because in the NFBC there's no trading. And that's why when I'm doing these write-ups, I'm not doing write-ups for the majority of these pitchers about guys that are top 30 pitchers. Like, unless I think the pitcher's being overdrafted, then I'll do a write-up. I'm talking about, you know, Marco Gonzalez. You know, I'm talking about these lows. I'm talking to people about Marcus Stroman. I'm talking about Nathan Eovaldi or Anthony Desclafani. You know, these type of pitchers that are lower down, because this is how you win. It's not, hey, I took Steven Strasburg and he threw 180 innings of Steven Strasburg work. That's not how you win. How you win is, oh, by the way, I took Jameson Taillon 100 picks later, and he did all those things. Oh, hey, by the way, I took, you know, Kyle Hendricks 150 picks later, and he wins the National League ERA title. That's how you win. That's how you build pitching, in my opinion, because everyone knows the top 25 guys, and then it's the Wild West beyond that. It's choosing the right guys beyond that throughout a draft.
And you got to identify those players. Who are your breakout players? I mean, we should by now know that, I mean, hitters and pitchers. I'm going to stick to pitchers, though, here. We know that Scherzer will do what he does. Sale will maybe do what he does. And we know the volatility. We've expressed that. But the guys who are going to put you over to win the championship are going to be the guys who break out. Like you said, getting DeGrom in the fifth round last year, huge. For, you know, that won people championship. Aaron Nola in the sixth, seventh, eighth round a year ago. Those are the guys. So identify them. Who are this year's breakouts? And, you know, we've got articles over at GuruElite.com. And I know, like, Draft Sheet, for instance, has identified guys like Shane Bieber, for instance, that he likes. I know he likes Marquez. I don't like Marquez as much. Anybody in Coors Field gives me the the diarrhea squirts. So I'm out on that. But I like a guy like Chris Archer. I think Archer has all the stuff, and he moves to National League. And again, we don't have to pay premium price, but we get a premium arm like that. Ray Flowers, I'm trying to think of some of your – who are some of your sort of potential breakout pitchers?
Yeah, my number one guy, and he's been terrible this spring. And don't panic, folks. Spring training is one thing, and a couple of – 10 outings. It's 10 outings. 10 innings, excuse me. Let's not freak out. Marco Gonzalez is on my list.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony Descalfani, who I grabbed in the reserve rounds at Tout Wars, is on my list. You could talk about Colin McHugh, though he's getting pushed up an awful lot.
He got destroyed in spring training, too.
He's had some struggles, absolutely. I really like the arm of Tyler Glasnow, who struggled in spring but who doesn't like the arm. Nick Pivetta.
I love Pivetta. That was another guy.
He's a guy that I grabbed in Tout Wars as well. Those are some names that stick out, but there are a lot of guys, and it's interesting because I do these rankings, and we got 125, 150 starting pitchers now that are ranked. And it's funny because I look at this and I think to myself, you know what? They're ranked the right way. Okay, I'm not backing off the rankings, but I look at this and I think, you know, I'm looking at, you know, the seventh tier here, and you know, it's not that bad. Like, if I got to turn to Aaron Sanchez as my last pitcher, fantastic. If Jeff Samard is my last pitcher, I got no problem with that. Caleb Smith had a strikeout an inning last year with the Marlins. Who the hell's talking about him? I think there's a lot of pitchers really late that don't even get drafted, that, you know, unless you're like in a 15-team league. There's a lot of pitchers late that have that ability to strike out 175 guys. You know, a couple of breaks here and there, they win 14 games, and those $1 29th round picks end up being $17 pitcher, 11th round performers, and that's how you win.
Yeah, I agree, and that's the way to do it. Identify them, the Patrick Corbins of the world too, and get on them. Get them before you don't have to pay the premium price. But that's what goes into the ultimate philosophy of making every single draft pick count. Make every single one. Suck every last possible nugget and ounce out of these arms and out of the talent, and boom, you're going to – even if you get one of these guys to hit the way a Corbin or Aaron Nola did, that's the difference between finishing third and finishing first in your fantasy league that year. So, and pitching breaks down that you just don't need to spend the premium picks on it. So there you go. And you got a couple of our breakout candidates right there. We got a ton of them listed. Player profiles, amazing player profile database over there at fantasyguru.com with very deep dives into all these guys. Vlad Sedler, draft sheet, myself, Ray Flowers, obviously. Ray doing 99% of them, but still, we all, it's like Stovetop, we helped. Or what is it?
Stovetop stuffing?
No, it's a shake and bake, and I
shake,
helped.
Shake and bake. Oh, not that one.
And I helped. Isn't that what? Stovetop. I don't know where I came from that. So there you guys go. That's a brief rundown. Other news from around the spring training right now, Ray Flowers, before we let the kitties off the hook. Carlos Gonzalez signs with the Tribe. What do you think of this? First time not being in Coors Field. I feel like everyone sort of knows Cargo is such a made guy from Coors Field. But what do you think about him in the American League in Progressive Field?
Well, I'm pumped. I took him in labor, the American League only league, in the reserve rounds.
So. Really? I didn't know that. You've only told me sometimes since the
did you hear I took Gio Gonzalez, too, who also went to the American League with the Yankees? Yeah, I got him in the reserve round, too. I mean, we have talked. You and I have talked. Everyone, I think, has talked about the Indians outfield. It's hideous. Like, it's like
so bad.
It's bad. And I don't know. Hanley Ramirez, who I know that – didn't you grab in Tout Wars in the last round or something?
I did.
I mean, there's hope there, but maybe he flames out, too. I can't see a scenario where if Cargo's healthy, he doesn't get 450 at-bats. Like, this is a great place for him to sign. And is he going to be a star? Absolutely not. Can he hit 275 with 15 home runs? Yeah. So he may or may not rise to the level of real importance in a mixed league unless it's a deep mixed league. Like a 10-team league, don't bother. 12-team league, eh. 15-team league, sure. But those in AL-only leagues, I think this is an excellent signing and an opportunity for him to play every day and be solid without being great.
I don't want to rain on your parade, but 323, 381, 592, triple slash at Coors. 251, 307, 420. We're away from course. So.
I expect him to be Melky Cabrera, not the steroid-driven one, the normal Melky Cabrera, the 275, 1570. Yep. I think he can do that. And, you know, is that where he was? Does that light up the world? Is he at that all-star level? No, it's not.
But again, yeah, for where you got him, especially, I wish Cargo would run a little bit still. And yeah, that's what I wish. Yeah. But then again, he'd probably just break something. So maybe not. Other news around spring training. Oh, I want to go back one thing you said about Gio Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. I meant to say this when I gave my rant earlier about teams screwing you and how the Yankees and Red Sox are the only viable teams. Where do the Yankees get off? Like, they have their star pitcher, Severino, out for probably this first month of the season, possibly. So they're just going to pick up Gio Gonzalez for and literally no money, $3 million. It's just such a – I mean, that's the thing. Like, why wouldn't the Cubs have got him? Why wouldn't the Angels have got him? Like, you look at these pitchers.
Why would any team pay him twice as much money? He clearly would have signed it at this point, right?
Why won't you just – all these teams, they could have easily just plugged them in. There's so many teams that need starting pitching and could have used them, like you said. But no, it's the Yankees just going swooping for no money.
But – by the way, the Cubs today, while we're doing this podcast, the news is breaking that Yu Darvish was pulled out of the game today with a blister. Yep. Again, while probably not a long-term thing, but now his availability for the start of the season's
up. Was it on his vagina?
I think it was, actually, John.
Okay, because yes. That would make a lot more sense.
Always something. Again, perfect example. Tyler Chatwood crapped his pants last year, right, since we're talking Cubs. We just mentioned the fact that Darvish, you know, got a blister. Darvish is frequently hurt anyway, so that's not someone they can count on. Why not? I mean, you're going to turn to Kendall Graveman? I mean, that's your backup plan? Yeah, that would have been an excellent signing. And who knows if he would have gone there and blah, blah, blah. Fly balls in Chicago can be bad. But paying him $6 million to have the ability to throw 107 innings when you've got, you know, Mike Montgomery, Tyler Chatwood, and a broken-down Yu Darvish as your fallbacks? Yikes.
It's bad news, man. It's bad news. But it's just again, Yankees playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers, and it drives me crazy. Speaking of the Yankees, they, and I know you because you're a big fan of Dellin Betances, mm-hmm. was dealt a setback here today. Betances, shoulder injury going on the injured list. For one, I'm always going to call it the disabled list. I don't care. You guys can do whatever you want to me. I'm an older man that will never change that. I'm never going to do the injured list. I think the injured list sounds dumb. Disabled list. It's always going to be deal with it. Betances goes on the DL to start the season. Shoulder and his right shoulder, throwing shoulder, obviously. What do you think here, Ray Flowers? You concerned? Because I know you're a Betances guy.
Well, and you know, at this point, it's hard to know. Like someone asked me, how much do you drop him? I've adjusted the rankings because you know me, Jeff. I have an addiction to it. So the rankings have been adjusted.
You really do. It's a crack. It's like Tony Montana with cocaine is the way Flowers is the ranking.
Big table of coke.
Yeah, set up, man. Shoulders moving down 8 spaces.
It sounds like at this point it's not a big deal. It sounds like, and I read some stuff up, you know, Betances didn't throw as much in the offseason as he has in the past. He had a baby, and it was kind of wink-wink. I know, Jeff, not to get you in trouble.
Uh-oh, what I did.
But it was wink-wink that maybe he was doing a lot of baby time prep stuff and not necessarily training. And that might have been the problem. So then he showed up at camp, realizing he was behind, and ramped things up too quick. So it was that he didn't do enough, and then he tried too hard. It's not structural. No one has panicked. Betances himself said, look, the same thing happened back in 2015. I lost velocity. Everyone freaked out in spring. I was just fine. Sounds like it's a couple of weeks setback. Now, we don't know for sure, okay? So we can't know for sure. And if you want to say, I'm not going to draft him until I get more clarity, I understand that. But I would suggest dropping him down, you know, 10, 15 spots in the rankings at the relief position. But it's not like you bury him to the point where you don't draft him, Jeff.
Fastball velocity was down too, which
yes. That's, same thing in 2015. It's true.
Right. So, yep. You know, it is what it is there. What it tells me is, hell, man. Go get Ottavino and Britton. You know, it's just they have – this is the thing. The Yankees are loaded up.
Chad Green.
Tommy Canley, Chad Green. I mean, all these guys, massive strikeout arm. They'll put the next guy in. And a guy like Ottavino hasn't been – the American League hasn't seen him very much. That slider is ridiculous. Could start out behind you and hit the outside corner to a right-handed hitter. It's pretty devastating. So next guy up. That mm-hmm. gives a boost at least at the beginning of the season. Again, you spend a dollar or draft him in the 28th, 29th round. A guy like Ottavino could have a real nice month in the month of April getting set up. Could even fall into some save opportunities for the Yankees as well. Another guy I think both of us, but I'll speak only for myself, I've been high on this entire preseason. Jeremy Jeffress for the Brewers, mm-hmm. Eek. He also has a shoulder impingement here, Ray Flowers. Ruled out for opening day as of right now. Looks like they're saying possibly be back even after the first week. But your thoughts on Jeffress going down?
Yeah, same thing with Betances. It doesn't appear like there's anything structural going on. The interesting thing with Jeffress, and if you go back and folks, you can read the reports of when he got pulled out of his outing that caused all the concern. He threw three pitches, and the training staff and the coaching staff came out to him and said, "Dude, are you okay?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm fine. Why?" And they're like, "Dude, your fastball's at 84 miles an hour."
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, "Well, my arm doesn't hurt at all." So they were like, "What the hell?" So I think with him, it doesn't make any sense if your arm doesn't hurt that, there's something structurally wrong. They ran the test. There wasn't. Lack of strength, those kind of things. It's that time of year. You can have dead arm. And I know that if you didn't play, it seems like a weird thing. But you can have, you wake up and your arm just isn't there. And for a week, it doesn't. And then 2 weeks later, it's fine. I don't know the medical explanation for it. I just know it's a real thing. It sounds like that's what they believe is the issue here. Again, they ran all the tests. There was nothing torn. There was nothing structural. I am a big fan of his. When our rankings first came out, I actually had him a few spots ahead of Knebel in the rankings because I thought, look, this guy pitched well down the stretch last year, and Knebel, for all his great stuff, is very hit or miss with the control. At this point, though, Jeffress has been dropped significantly in the rankings. I anticipate he'll be fine, and he should work his way back into a role of prominence, but this does give a wide-open opportunity for Knebel to take that ninth inning job and run with it.
Undraftable at this point, Jeffress?
Really depends on your league depth and your roster and all that.
I wouldn't say mixed.
Yeah, in a 12-team mixed, I wouldn't say he's undraftable. No, I wouldn't go that far, but he's right on the edge. I mean, if you look at the rankings right now, we've got him next to guys like Chad Green and Seth Lugo and Sergio Romo. So it's not, he's pulled back significantly. He was a good
Undraftable. I get it.
Well, for now, maybe. But again, it doesn't take much. He has a good couple of weeks, like you're talking about. If he doesn't throw a strike, he's back working the ninth inning.
Pick him up for sure. Yeah. And if you have unlimited DL spots, then fine. But if you don't, then pass for me at this point. All right, folks, we're over an hour. That's good for today. Remember, hopefully, you guys are checking us out over at fantasyguru.com. I know chat room is really picking up in recent days. It's going to be exciting talking baseball with you guys all year long over at Fantasy Guru. Those of you who listen to Ray Flowers, myself on Sirius XM, fantasy baseball will be going away as far as talk on the radio in late July or early August. It's never going away in Fantasy Guru, which is very exciting, even though we'll have plenty of football conversation over there too. But man, the chat room is set up for everybody. We'll be doing live streams. We'll be doing these podcasts. We'll be doing articles, and we have tools already available, and we'll have our Burr report and our bullpens and all this great stuff. So, it's not just a draft guide. It's a full season worth of Fantasy Guru baseball content, conversation, access to Ray Flowers, myself, Vlad Sadler, draft sheet, and the like. So hopefully you guys are liking that. Feel free to hit us up anytime. At Baseball Guys on Twitter for Ray, at Jeff_Mans on Twitter for me. Remember, what would you do with $1 million? Hit me up at Jeff_Mans. Winner will win some Elite Mafia gear, t-shirts. We got hats, things like that. Don't forget our bracket, NCAA Bracket Challenge. Somebody could win $1 million, courtesy of Elite Fantasy Sports. Check that out as well. Ray Flowers, any final words for the kiddies out there?
Yeah, go win some money. Follow our work on Twitter and obviously at the website. And if you haven't yet, get in on the package. Like you said, it's not that, it's over now. You can't gain anything from it. Nah, man, we're going 24/7 the rest of the way through the entirety of the season. Sign up, get access to everything. We're going to have stats, all kinds of extra stuff coming too, Jeff. Live streams, chat room, all that kind of stuff. Really encourage people to give that a look.
Absolutely. So exciting times again. FantasyGuru.com for that. Guru Elite for all our betting, sports betting content, and our daily fantasy people, including daily fantasy baseball. Get ready to open. I want everybody to get their wallets and stretch them as far as they go, open wide for all the cash you're going to be slamming into that wallet. So do that in anticipation for the daily fantasy baseball season over at elitefantasy.com. For Ray Flowers, this is Jeff Manns, Fantasy Baseball Elite. We'll see you next time, everybody. Deuces.